Good morning. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please?
Good morning, Rob.
There you go.
We're all here.
I think we're all on.
We're all here.
Are the girls on?
It's a miracle. good. Well, good morning. So I like to start out by asking you what's on your mind.
Well, do you guys want to lead from there? Rob, there's a couple people that are remoting in from different areas right now. One of the things I guess I will throw in before we get started is, and maybe we didn't really explain this going into this program, but we have a pretty defined method for scheduling and handling things sort of as we do it right now and have been. And that seemed like perhaps a friction point post this scheduling conference call. And guys, please jump in regards to that. It just feels like the way it was explained, at least on the first conference call, that things might be more difficult than easier and smoother.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, but I'm not the expert. Are the women on here?
I would agree with that.
1,000% agree with that.
Okay, so what? Let's get down to specifics and what changes are you finding the most difficult to consider?
Well, let me just explain what we do right now, what we do. So I would reach out to a client. We would schedule something. First, I have to go on to Outlook and put it on, let's say, David Mess's calendar. I put it on there. Then I have to go into 3B and put a note in there that they are meeting with the client on this date. I put in a task for myself to give a reminder call. And I also put in a task for myself to do a review packet. Everything needs to be in 3D. That's what I do from our end. Regarding call cycles and things like that, I don't run those. I think Dana does. But calls are then delegated, I would say mostly to me, but I know Deb Yost does a lot for David Metz. So those are tasks that we have to call. And Kirsten does some as well, but that was just something that I offered to be lead on. So that's how it works right now.
So where's it, just help me by explaining to me the conflict between what we're suggesting and what you're doing.
Is that an extra step? Because already I have 4 steps when I'm making 1 phone call and then completing the call cycle. So I guess really 5 steps when I'm doing one call to schedule an appointment. Is the scheduler an extra step? Is it an extra 2 or 3 steps?
Oh, the scheduler? You mean the technology?
Isn't that what we're talking about?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a broad question. That's what
I'm concerned it's going to create more work. It's already a lot of work to make 1 phone call based on 3D changes that we recently had. So if you can assure us that it's less work, fine. But we're already really busy, and that's just it's a big concern of mine, because something that should take 2 minutes literally can take me 5 to 10 minutes.
And Rob, let me jump in here real quick here. She is, 3D is our proprietary customer relationship management software, and it is a technology item, to your question.
Sure.
If you're not familiar with that, that's the Morgan Stanley backbone technology that we use.
Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, yeah. I don't want to make anything more difficult for you. My suggestion is this. Have you had your conference call with Cindy yet?
Yes.
And you think this is going to make it harder, not easier?
I'm not going to lie. I was completely overwhelmed by the whole gist of it. Now, I didn't do anything hands-on, but just watching it, my initial gut reaction was it was going to be a lot more time-consuming. But if somebody can prove me wrong, that would be wonderful. But to me, I just looked at that going, I wouldn't even know how to incorporate that into how we're already required to do it. Like, we have to put these things in 3D.
Hey, Lee, right. Can you and I take a look at it together today when I'm in Carlisle and talk about it? Because I think it actually will replace a step, not add a step. But let's take a look at it together if that's okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Rob, let's go ahead and move on, please.
I think Deb's trying to talk.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Deb.
Mute. Hold on, I think she has her phone on mute. Oh, I said, I think when you enter the appointment on the initial step, it automatically populates the calendar for the whole 1242.
Correct. We'll talk about it later today, ladies.
Okay.
Okay, was that, and I assume that was David starting out the call. David, was that your concern, or is there something else?
Yeah, well, so look, we're trying to be sensitive to everybody's time constraints here, and I know there was some concern and a little bit of concern post their scheduling conference call. I was not on the scheduling conference call, so I can't speak to it directly. That's why it's helpful for Lee to explain what she was talking about there. But hopefully we can certainly work through that in a way that's productive. So that's what I was getting at there. So, you know, this will be a continual conversation there. So, let's just sort of move on. I would say one of the other things, and we have sort of identified who's going to be director of what on this five-star model. And two people are going to be platooning, I think, or I guess four people are going to be platooning two of the stars, which I think will work out really, really well. I think one of the benefits we can get from you as well is to continue to help us distill down what exactly we should be doing with each one of those positions. But we'll talk about that along the way.
Well, that's kind of where we left off last week, so maybe we can jump right into that, if you don't mind. Who's going to do what, and how do you visualize it, and what issues do you have? And because, you know, this is all learning, right? Anytime you're learning.
Jump in. My work was primarily done already. The director of implementation, I guess, is a role. This is David Metz, by the way, that I'm going to take on. I guess that's my understanding of that responsibility is to run the 24-month calendar, which Tim Burns has done a great job of already putting together sort of a month-by-month topic, which I think we'll probably tweak to our own liking, but it certainly gives a good framework to get started along with questions. Anything else I should be focusing on or thinking about?
Sure, you're in charge of everything, David. No, you're in charge of the asset and liability model. So
yeah, we sort of already the liability model, maybe not so much, but the asset side we've sort of got down. So
right, okay, and that's consistent. And, you know, you just want to make sure you're supernovaing that process so you don't have any outliers or fails, and you know, you've done that. You guys are organized, okay? And here's the thing. You're taking a really good team that's really working well, and we're trying to overlay Supernova on top of it, okay? Now, what we're going to get out of this is a better overall experience for you and for the client. But anytime somebody comes in and says what you're doing up to now has been wrong and what we're suggesting is right, that's really hard, and it goes against the grain, and nobody likes it, and it doesn't sound like much fun, and so forth. So don't think of it that way. Don't think of everything as been wrong up to now. What you've done is lots and lots of really good things. In fact, maybe things that I will learn from. And all we're saying is over, 20 years of best practices, this is a model that seems to work the best. But you may have a better way of doing some part of it. But what I find is that we tend not to do all these things, and therefore we leave things out that are critical to the long-term success of the team. And when you lay a model like this on top of what you're doing, it will appear to be a lot more work. The reality is it's comprehensive, and you're doing things that are going to make the overall productivity of the team greater. Everybody's going to feel like they're doing more work, but what you're doing is picking up jobs that either weren't being done or weren't being done to the extent that we're suggesting they be done. The benefits will be dramatic to the whole team. One player may feel like, wow, I'm doing a ton, right? I'm doing so much. But so is everybody else. So it will appear painful in the beginning, but once you create the rituals around it, the work becomes very smooth and it will go really well. You'll be a well-oiled machine. But I understand, and I'm okay with pushback. I'm not a dictator. If you got a better way, I want to hear it. But David, the other part that you're in charge of is making sure that the team is properly prepared for the new month.
Okay.
We could call that the training officer, as we did in the Navy. But the reality is you got to make sure that everybody on the team. In everybody on the team is prepared for the new month. So if it's going to, if it's going to mean that we're going to be doing a lot more debt financing, everybody has to know what their role and responsibility is in that process, including the back office, including, home office. So because you may do enough that it will impact them. So it's a coordinating experience anyway. So,
thank you.
Yeah, good, David. Next.
Who wants to go next?
I'm going to do brand management.
Yeah.
I guess brand management. When I was
this
reading,
is Patrick.
Yeah, this is Patrick. So I think we decided that I was going to lead that with Dana. And what I kind of got from that was the whole segmentation monitoring, annual reviews of that, kind of the people that we were pushing like up and out type of a thing on a regular basis, keeping the model intact. Things like rapid problem response, which I think we already do a really good job of that. I know they're talking about, clients calling in with problems, making sure we respond within, a couple of hours or to 24 hours. We do that kind of stuff already, so we're pretty good with that. But I think the main things that I took from it, and correct me if I'm wrong, was the segmentation monitoring and pretty much the 12-4-2 oversight.
You got it. Yes. So think of yourself as managing the min and the max and then challenging the group every year to do the math, right? Because if you raise your revenues, you keep the same number of clients, then you do the math, divide out to figure out what your absolute max minimum is and your target minimum, They would change every year, assuming you grow. And you'd be the person responsible for sharing that good news with the team. And then holding them accountable to raising, because the only way you're going to grow is to raise your minimums. That sounds crazy, right? It sounds like, we'll get more accounts. No, you don't want more accounts. You want the same number of accounts and raise your minimum. And it's just a different mindset. And so that's your responsibility to monitor that and make sure that we're sticking to the minimum. So you're kind of the brand manager, the person that manages the brand. Now, when you mention the fact that you're doing rapid response, one of our response 24-hour resolution, are you getting credit for that in the mind of the client and your centers of influence? So not only are you responsible for doing it, you're responsible for making sure that it is part of the team mantra, that the team is sharing that with your clients. And so the basic point is we don't want to give anonymously. If you're already awesome at service, does anybody know that you're better than most people out there? And so that's what you want to make sure you keep sharing that with others. That, in fact, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution, we're doing it. And if we don't do it, we let the client know how long it will take. We keep them informed and let them know when it's completed. That's a big deal, okay, in terms of establishing your service brand. And that's kind of what you want to keep reinforcing with the team. So you want to be the big brand, you want to be the marketing guy in your own team for making sure that everyone's sharing the mantra of the brand. Okay?
Yeah. So it's more just a label on what we're already doing.
Yeah, exactly. You brand it. You market it. You give yourself credit for it. Because most people don't do that. They do wonderful things, but nobody knows it, you know. Go ahead.
On brand management, it also says compliance at the end.
Yeah, it's compliance with the strategy, compliance, but it's also true compliance. So there should be one person on the team that makes sure that your brand in the community, I mean, one or two bad decisions by someone on the team can ruin the brand for the whole team. So this is where the brand is established and maintained. And it's just sort of a watchdog to work and make sure that everyone on the team remembers rules and responsibilities. Had to go somewhere, right? We put it there.
Yep.
So I'm going to be the one that everybody hates, essentially.
That's right. You're the sheriff.
One more reason.
It's just nothing new.
It's nothing new.
Okay. Who's in charge of planning?
I am, Scott, and Craig and I are going to work jointly on this. So we've discussed this to a degree, and we're going to come up with a new, we're going to look at the data form of getting and gathering all of the information that we need from a client and seeing if we can make that and update that so everyone has all the information, you know, who the kids are, grandkids, schools,
right,
accountants, lawyers, et cetera. And then we just talked about like having a spreadsheet for everybody so that, and look, I think it's up to the team, but having a goal set it by the end of, say, 1 year, 100% of the top 100 for each person has a plan. First meetings probably are going to be more, let's just get it going. Second and third meetings will be to utilize it and start to drill down on all of the information you can gather out of the plan.
It's really good. I mean, it's really important. And congratulations, you got the right mindset there. That's why we we made planning the first step of Supernova years ago, and it's the core, it's the bedrock of everything that we do. If you don't know who the client is, and what their goals and responsibilities are, it's how can you diagnose it? It's like, you know, diagnosing somebody without giving them a physical. So it's kind of crazy, but you know, we did it for years. Once we did planning, then we only took the low hanging fruit and we never followed up on the rest. And so, you know, part of Supernova is not only multi-generational planning, but full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled reviews. Four of them will be reviews of the plan, two of them in person. So you want to just make that a core competence, that everybody is comfortable in the planning process, so that, you know, sometimes there's some education involved, some training, some designations and other things. So planning can incorporate more, but the idea is that planning is a huge part unto itself, and that's why we separated planning from implementation. And you guys are a nice big team, so you can take advantage of that, whereas, you know, the single producer has to do everything and therefore can't do the kind of detailed work that you can do on something like this. So reviewing your fact finder, whatever you, there's one in our folder that you can use. I'm sure you have many to choose from, but that's a really important part of it, and it's an important part of the folder too. So way to go, Scott. Great. Okay.
Director of growth.
Yeah. Growth and marketing, right.
So functionally, is this just holding everybody accountable to doing all the different things that it's asked?
Who's talking? And
I'm sorry, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. Okay. Sorry, guys. If you don't mind, I just don't know your voices yet. So you're in charge of growing the company, right? So that's a big responsibility. So you'd say, all right, we're here at the beginning of the year. We want to be here. We want to be here 5 years. How are we going to get there? So that is a big responsibility and incorporates everything that we'll talk about for the majority of the call that we're on. You know, once we get segmented and organized, everything is about growth. And Supernova is a growth strategy. So the Supernova multiplier investigates seven different ways of growing a practice in kind of a modern post-cold calling world. And you're responsible for making sure that that the team is growing. And so there's training involved in each one of these, right? So everybody is a director of training. But teaching people how to use strategies that they're, you know, previously uncomfortable with or unfamiliar with is part of the responsibility of the director of growth. So we'll talk about that in some more detail, but, you know, it's each one of these is a huge job, right? I mean, think about if you were the firm, right? And organized the firm around these five strategies, how big a job it would be. Well, you just have the same job, just happens to be with your team. Okay? And then director of leadership, which is also huge.
Oh, that's me, David Bartoli.
Okay, David. So, David, what questions do you have about the leadership piece?
You know, I don't have a whole lot of questions. I mean, I'm other than comments that I'm going to continually have questions probably But that's okay, you know, as we try to coordinate this entire exercise. And that's where I see that role is the coordination of each one of these different positions, right? So, and making sure that everything is clicking correctly. So I don't have any questions. Like I said, the comments will be just, I'll probably continue to have questions in the future as we try to evolve here.
Yeah. One thing I would recommend, I just listened to my own book this morning, working out, and the chapter on leadership gives you in excruciating detail what you want to do as the leader of the team. So each, when you're saying to myself, I don't really know everything about this role, go back to the Supernova Multiplier and read the chapter that has been written for you, okay? So when we roll out the five stars, the five-star model under organization, we go into excruciating detail, as I say, on each role and responsibility. So I recommend you get the book on audio version, not because I'm trying to sell more books, but because I'm trying to get this information to you in a form that you'll be able to absorb. Some people are great at reading. Some people are visual learners, and some people are auditory learners.
Rob, not to cut you off there, but I believe we all have it in both formats, to be honest with you. We each have it in both formats, so we're good there.
Good. Okay, so make sure that, you know, here's my point in saying this. There's a lot to know, and if you listen to the chapter, you know, once a day for 5 days, you're going to know what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to have to repeat myself. So from a point of view of absorbing knowledge, it's a great tool for me as the coach. So I can make this straightforward. I ask you, do your homework, okay? Listen to the book. Know it. And then when we ask questions, and I'm not opposed to you asking questions, just I want the questions to be as important as they can be from your point of view. And not just questions about what do I do, okay? More how do I do it, or what about this? Or I'd like to try this versus this. And that's where we can have more fun, and it can be more beneficial to you guys as a team. But each job has a lot of nuances to it, and will take some real work and concentration and thought. So step two is to write up what it is you're going to do by the end of 2020 and where you are now, where you're going to go, obstacles you're going to have to overcome, and then steps you're going to take to overcome those obstacles. You can do it in one page, maybe two pages, but that becomes then your team's comprehensive business plan for the year. When you think about it, all we did was take it, break it into its individual parts, and then each person is responsible. And then, assuming that your goals are proper, you should have a fabulous year by each person taking full responsibility for their area of that they have chosen. So it works. Okay. What else? Questions?
I have a question. So I've segmented my stuff, and I figured out who I want to have my top 100. And I've started talking to the people at the top. I guess I'm struggling a little bit with how to talk to the people at the bottom and how to do that handoff.
Well, it's pretty much the same conversation, whether you're telling somebody at the top or the bottom. The only difference is one you're going to say, congratulations, you're part of it, and one you're going to say, we have a better solution for you going forward. So think of it as good news on both sides, right? we're going to be able to provide you with everything that you need at the same price or less than what you're getting now if you're going to be reassigned to somebody else. If you're going to be staying with us, then you're going to get a lot more than you got in the past. So you really want to sell this as a service, as a huge benefit to them. And if you don't, if you make it kind of casual, like it's just a little service increase, then you're not selling it right. You got to sell it as something that we really have committed major amount of time and energy and money to in order to improve the client experience. So I would memorize the speech, you know, that we had a problem. We hired a consultant. And then between the consultant and ourselves, we committed to a comprehensive client experience, more of a concierge client experience. And this is what we're going to give you. And then you just tell them the three pieces of it. We're going to offer you multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. Four of those will be reviews of the plan, two of them in person. And then we are offering you rapid response to your problems, one-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? They're going to say, wow, that sounds great. How are you able to do that? It's because we're restricting ourselves to less than 100 clients. And they'll say, well, am I one of them? And you'll say, well, at this time, we're going to be, and you're either going to reassign them or congratulations, you're part of it. Now, some people will say, well, how much is this going to cost? And you'll tell them that the minimum fee is blank. And, you know, our minimum fee is $5,000, right? That's what we decided with a $15,000 target. And they'll say, well, you know, I have more assets somewhere else and I'd like to bring them over. Can I be a part of this then? Yes. Okay, if you can meet our minimum, certainly. And if they say, well, why can't I stay? And because our minimum fee is $5,000 and you're paying $1,000 or $2,000 right now, and we just don't think that that's fair because your situation really doesn't require a complicated approach. We're taking on cases that are more challenging, more complicated, and therefore charging more money.
Rob, so do you have a couple different ideas? I remember in the book there was a couple. Do you have any more? Because we're handling this a little bit differently. We're not getting rid of it. We're just reassigning. And I'm not sure we're reassigning that says, hey, you're going to get 12 calls a year necessarily. We're kind of doing a two-step process on this.
So what are you offering them then?
Another person on our team, junior partner, well, lack of a better term.
Well, they'll still do the Supernova stuff.
And what are they going to
get? They're going to get the Supernova process, but with just a junior partner.
Right. And so they'll say, so, you know, how are you able to do this? And it's because we've leveraged our team and we've got the, you know, fabulous new partners that we've brought on that are going to be handling part of my responsibilities. And if you haven't introduced them already, you introduce them then, and you do an immediate handoff. Now, it can be where you're going to still be in touch. You're still going to be able to review the account, whatever you want to do. It can be a complete handoff. It can be I'm going to be meeting with you twice a year in here, or it can be a complete handoff. You decide, but It should be short and sweet, and it should be them talking to the other party as soon as possible. But I would still introduce the 12-4-2 and the rapid response, and And all you simply say is, you know, like with any law firm or any other practice, I'm becoming more of a specialist working with complicated cases. Think of me, you know, as more of a moving to more of a neurological, or if you think of a doctor as a heart surgeon or something like that, I'm doing complicated cases. My partner is more of a general practitioner. Your situation is you know, at this time anyway, is less complicated, and therefore he's going to do a terrific job for you. I mean, you don't have to explain much. They get it, that, you know, that if you're restricted to 100 clients, they don't want to leave, and you've got the best solution in the world. You got a partner. And you don't want two people digging a hole, right? You want them to handle it. A lot of teams have two people on calls. I think that, you know, you can for a specialty item like estate planning. But in general, you don't want that. You want one person handling the case. You know, they can periodically bring other people in, but you want to leverage your practice as much as you can. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, time goes fast. Thanks for being on time. Let me ask you, what are the most important things that you've taken away from the training up to right now?
What are the most important things we've taken from this?
Yeah. Let's say, what are the three big takeaways so far from the training that you've seen? What are going to be the benefits to you guys?
I think that we do. Honestly, I took it as that we're doing a lot of this stuff right already, but I think this is going to be more formalizing and branding, I think, a lot of what we're doing, and then also fine-tuning it and making it more consistent is my takeaway.
I like the branding. I think the branding idea is awesome. I think leveraging that in front of COIs, it'll be impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the different director roles and stuff like that, kind of giving those, you know, the attorneys and accountants and people that we already work with a way to separate us from any other advisor that they might work with, and hopefully sway them to send more referrals our way, qualified referrals.
Yeah, I think the organized structure, I guess I would parrot what Steven said. The organized structure, more organized structure, I guess. Not organized structure, but the more organized, the sort of the 12-4-2 concept, I think, will help us a lot. We're doing it. In many cases, we're already actually doing it, but we're not doing it in a very, very structured way.
Great. Okay, good. Those are great answers, and that's helpful for me to know what you're valuing right now. One of the concepts that I want you guys to think about in terms of your calls, when you start out your calls, I'd like you to think about the value of asking the client what's on their mind before you get into the agenda. Before we get into the agenda today, what's on your mind? The second best question is, what else? And then at the end of the call, when it's appropriate, you don't have to do it all the time, but when it's appropriate, you can ask the question, what are the three big takeaways from today's call? And what it will do is help you to understand what it is that the client heard and what it is that they value from what you're doing. Now, this will be important in terms of helping the client to articulate what it is that you do for them. But it will also be able to help them articulate not only to you, but to other people why it is that they refer you. So that's a very important question to practice asking. And that's why I asked it today. Not because we've gone far enough that you really get it yet, but because I want you to learn the process of asking that question, because it can be very important, as it was today. I think I got a lot out of that by asking that question. And you want to think about what it is that your clients value from what you do, because sometimes we don't know. It can be completely different than what we think it is. Okay? So, thanks. I will talk to you in a week, I guess.
Hey, I guess we'll get an email as to what our homework is. Is that right, or are you going to tell us, or what should we be ready for next week?
Well, I think one of the things we want to resolve is the scheduler issue, right? So I'd like to get that resolved. Understanding we really haven't gotten into the marketing and leverage of centers of influence, niches, and going through the top 20 clients to understand what it is that, you know, where everybody comes from. So, you know, we went back in week two and talked about niches, referral trees. So, you know, We've been spending time on the five-star model and kind of skipped over that. So if you could go back and give me that, that would be great homework. Okay? Again, you know, we'll adjust for where you guys are and where you want to go, but we want to stay with the program. So that's your, I would say that's your homework. Focus on the marketing, your niches, your centers of influence, and be able to articulate, you know, where the business came from. And there's enough of you that it's going to be pretty diverse, I would hope, but maybe not. Okay?
All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David's still. Oh, I guess we lost them.
They're going to record. Yeah.
I'm still here, guys. I'm still here.
Okay.
Hello?
This call is being recorded, by the way, as long as we stay on this conference.
So I'm going to click off then, I guess. You guys talk amongst yourselves, because I guess I'm actually getting, we're
yeah,
going
go.
To the airport right now.
Go.
So I got to go. Bye.